stir me from my slumber. I am the Eternal Dragon. Now make your first wish. Your wish has been granted. Here is your host, Tim Bridgewater.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 62 of Rock the Dragon, a Dragon Ball Super podcast. I'm your host, Tim Bridgewater. Thank you guys for joining me again this week. We're coming right off of a pretty relatively exciting episode. It in some ways wasn't the best, but in other ways it was pretty cool because it reminded us a lot of Dragon Ball Z. At least it did for me. And I find that the episodes that do that tend to kind of be the better ones. So we're going to talk more about that. Obviously, we left off on a sort of a major sort of a cliffhanger. We've got what appears to be a new transformation for future Trunks. We've got all sorts of revelations and things that we're finding out about Goku Black and all of that kind of stuff. So as always, we'll continue to break this stuff down on this episode. You can find me over on Facebook.com/RockTheDragonPodcast. Go over there and give that page a like. If you have anything you want to say, any questions, comments about anything, you can message me over there. You can also send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com for our email segment, which is called What Are You Saying? So if you have anything you want to say about the episode or anything beyond, any questions or comments, email me there. Go to the Facebook page. Also, of course, I hosted two other podcasts. One of those was called Geekly Dose, and the other one was called Republic City Report, which is a Legend of Korra podcast, which, of course, was the sequel to Avatar The Last Airbender. I talk about that podcast every now and then on here just because I know I have some crossover listeners. So for those crossover listeners, just in case you guys are not aware of this, this is something I've been waiting for years, and I talked about this. I talked about this on Rock the Dragon, so I don't remember what episode it was. But I mentioned that I had just bought Avatar The Last Airbender on DVD, right? Because I was waiting for like a Blu-ray special edition to come out. Never came out. So I got that. And then I also bought The Legend of Korra, finally, on Blu-ray, probably 2 weeks ago. So I was watching The Legend of Korra. It just got me all excited about everything again. And just randomly, I decided to just sort of Google The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra, because sometimes you just got to do that if you just want to see if there's any new news on anything and such like that. So I found out that last week of all weeks was sort of the 10th anniversary of the release of Avatar The Last Airbender. So guess what they did to celebrate 10 years? They released it on Blu-ray. Isn't that something? I mean, I was just talking about that, and I had no idea that this was coming. I had no idea that they were going to do it. And then I just happened to Google it, and it was like, holy shit, it was coming out like the same week. So from what I understand, right now, the Blu-ray is only available at Best Buy. Okay, so you have to go to Best Buy store or bestbuy.com, and then in June, it'll be released elsewhere. So that's super exciting for me, someone who's a major fan of that show. Yes, I just bought it on DVD some months ago, but of course I'm going to buy it on Blu-ray now because why not? I've been waiting for that for the longest time. Super excited to know that it's now available. I have not had a chance to pick it up yet, and I'm kicking myself in the ass right now because I went to that part of town today and didn't even think to go get it. Okay, but I will go get it. So that's just a little bonus news for the crossover listeners, and of course anyone else who just may be, a fan of that show or looking to get into it, go get it. It's one of the most incredible shows I've ever seen in my entire life, and I mean that. And if you value my opinion, which most of you do, that's why you listen to this, then I think you'll really enjoy it. So go check that out if you get a chance. For now, we're gonna go ahead and switch over to our email segment for the week. I got an email here I'm gonna read. Once again, What Are You Saying? Send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to read this email here from Ricky. Ricky, longtime listener. Always good to hear from you. Says here in the subject line, Goku Black and getting stronger. Ricky writes, hey, Tim, listen to episode 61 of the pod yesterday. I have to say I am super hyped to see what Trunks' new power will bring to the fight. Future Trunks has always been a favorite of mine, so to see him come into his own power puts a smile on my face. I do hope the dubbed show has a better explanation to his transformation than the YouTubers who have already talked about it for the sub. I won't get into it, but their analysis usually amounts to garbage. LOL. Anyway, for episode 61, you talked a little on how Black was randomly getting stronger as Goku was whipping that ass. And I agree with you, that is not how a Saiyan works. However, as we have seen in previous episodes up to now, every time Black fights Goku, specifically, he gets stronger because he learns more about how Goku's body works. So when Goku got all angry strong, Black was able to learn more about how shit works and got stronger too. I don't exactly like it, but I think that means Goku can't be the one to defeat Black. This theory also puts a smile on my face, LOL. As always, keep up the good work. Your podcast helps me get to work. And at the bottom here, you have a quote from Trunks himself that says, "All right, Black, I'm going to kill you myself." That wasn't my best Trunks impression. I can do a better one, but I'll spare you guys for that right now. Ricky, thanks for writing in. Good point. Very good point. In terms of, that was something I was talking about. It seemed to me like there was a lot of emphasis coming from Goku Black on how, because he had Goku's body, he was able to get stronger in the middle of a fight. And I was saying that that's not how it works for Saiyan bodies, and it's never worked that way. It's always taken them a little recovery time first to get stronger. And what you're saying here is that it's specific and unique to Goku Black that he's getting stronger during the fight because he's learning more from watching Goku fight, and that is how he's becoming stronger. That makes perfect sense, and that is something that they definitely mentioned before. I just wish that they would elaborate on it a little bit more, right? Because I feel like it's not clear. I feel like he needs to say that, you know. He needs to say, it just needs to be clear, right? Because I think the way it's coming across as if it's just because he has that body that he's able to become stronger during a fight, as opposed to now I'm learning more about the way Goku's body functions, and that's why I'm getting stronger. I just feel like there needs to be a clarification there. But absolutely, I mean, what you said makes 100% sense there. So, I don't like it either, because I mean, it's one of those things that's just kind of like, of course, right? Of course, something like him watching Goku fighting will allow him to be able to sort of determine how to use the body more. But yet, apparently, that's never been a problem before. And here's where the issue comes in with me, right? If it's taken him this long to learn how Goku's body works in terms of being able to sort of utilize it to its fullest capability, then why was it so easy for him to kill Goku in that original timeline when Goku was in his body, right? When Goku was in Zamasu's body, why was it so easy for him to just kill him? He didn't even know how to use Goku's body at that point, apparently, right? And so that I went a lot into this on the last episode, but I kind of have an issue with the origin of Goku Black. So that kind of ties into that, but I guess I can nitpick it to death if I want to, but I just kind of have to accept it and move on. So that's basically what I'll do. So Ricky, yeah, thank you for bringing that up. That's a very good point. And you know, you're talking about, of course, future Trunks. I mean, you were excited to see what that transformation was. I don't think it's a stretch to say that it really didn't amount to anything. I mean, we've seen the episode now, episode 62, we watched it, and there was a lot of sort of hype that didn't really turn into anything. So I don't know if you're disappointed by that or what, but we'll talk more about that in a moment when we get into the episode talk. So thank you, as always, for writing in. Just another reaction from Facebook about Trunks's sort of quote unquote transformation here. Robert says, "I honestly hated this transformation. It's a great visual, but it makes no sense. Trunks was weak as hell in comparison, and somehow he's ascending past everything he hasn't achieved yet out of anger. Trunks at his peak was the bulked up ascended Saiyan. Wasn't even Super Saiyan 2 or 3. Just skips them. I might be jumping the gun, I don't know the result of this, but if he's suddenly equivalent to everyone after it took everyone the duration of the whole series, starting with DBZ, to get to this point, and Trunks is there in a scream, I'll highly be disappointed with the writing. Overall, I'm liking this arc, but everything feels so rushed. Nothing has time to breathe or play out. It's like it's written on bullet points." Robert, thank you for sharing that on Facebook. I kind of responded on there just by saying it was a little, because you Robert wrote this after episode 61, not episode 62. So maybe his opinion on it has changed a little bit. Probably not. I mean, because what I said was, is that at the time it was too early for me to kind of decide whether or not I liked it or not, because, well, he just did it at the end of the episode, right? Now that I've seen episode 62, I'm not sure what to think of it, because there's no explanation as to what it is, what happened there. I don't know if they will do that. If I know the Dragon Ball world as well as I think I do, there'll probably be no explanation at all. And that's why you have people like Ricky, you were mentioning YouTubers. You know, there's a lot of YouTubers that are probably just making videos about with their own theories of what this is, how it happened, etc. I'm going to sort of reserve any sort of theories on it, I guess, for now, until this ends and we can see if there's some explanation of it. I feel like there's not going to be one. But I have to agree with Robert in the fact that, I never liked cheap sort of power boosts, okay? Or what do they call them, Zenkai boosts? I've never been a big fan of that, okay? You guys know me well enough to know by now that I'm not a big fan of them just making up shit whenever they feel like it for the sake of the story, okay? And this is just another example of that. You know, Trunks has never really done anything like this that's just kind of come out of nowhere with no explanation. I mean, when he went Ascended Saiyan, there was an explanation for that. You know, he went to the Hyperbolic Time Chamber. He trained with Vegeta. He learned a lot about training with himself as well as someone else. You know, so it makes sense that he would reach a new level. Here, well, it just seems like he got mad. Now, it's not like that's completely unheard of either, though, in the Dragon Ball world. You know, Gohan, that was very much a thing with him. Early on as a kid, he would get mad, his power level would shoot up. They never explained why that was or how it worked or any of that. It was just something that they explained and established about Gohan early on. So it's not like it's something that's unheard of, but it's never really been established with Trunks. So it is a little bit weird that he could get super mad all of a sudden and get a power level boost. But I don't know. All I can do is hope is that by some chance they'll explain it or have some kind of, you know, reasoning behind it. But I'm not going to get my hopes up for it. But we'll talk more about that in a minute when we get into episode talk. Robert, thank you for that. If you guys, any other guys have anything to say about it, once again, hit me up on Facebook or send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. There was also another sort of post that I shared on the Facebook page, and I'd like to get more feedback on this first before I actually do it, okay? But my friend Robert, the one that I mentioned occasionally on the podcast, actually posted on the page, and you guys have seen these memes going around where it's like a guy sitting at a table and he has a little poster board in front and it'll say blank 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 change my mind, right? So there's one that I posted on the page, that I shared on the page because Robert shared it with me. Piccolo is sitting at the desk and says, "Goku is a bad father. Change my mind." Okay. This is definitely something that as people have been talking about for years, Goku's sort of abilities as a parent and a father. I kind of shared a little bit of my perspective on that on the Facebook page, but I'm willing to come on the podcast and kind of break it down and talk about it more. But that's only if you guys want to hear that. I mean, if you don't, then I won't do it. But if you want to, just go to the page and like that post or leave me a comment or something, because it can be sort of just a fun little thing to kind of talk about. I may even make a video or something. I don't know. But there's a lot of potential that I can do with that kind of stuff. But I need the feedback before I just kind of jump into an extra thing. I mean, I could just come on the next episode of the podcast and talk about it for a little bit. But I want to make sure you guys want to hear about that first. So if that sounds like something you'd be interested in hearing about for fun, go to the page, like the post, and we can make that happen. And now I'll check the post in a week and we'll see what happens. Okay. All right. Now, with all of that being said, let's jump into the episode talk for this week. Of course, this episode of Rock the Dragon Podcast, episode 62, is going to cover episode 62 of, what's the name of this show? Right, Dragon Ball Super, titled, "I Will Defend the World, Trunks' Furious Burst of Superpower." Whew, man, with a title like that, there has to be some incredible shit about to happen here, right? Wink, wink. Let's just get to the point here. No. No. The answer is no. The answer is absolutely no. I mean, they episode 61 ended with Trunks having this freaking super, once again, burst of superpower that essentially amounted to nothing this episode. I mean, okay, yeah. He had, you know, there was a noticeable shift in power, okay? He was able sort of to kind of hold his own a little bit longer than he was normally able to do against Zamasu or Goku Black. You know, he was able to sort of deflect, you know, energy waves and power beams and stuff that he probably wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. So it's definitely a noticeable difference in power. But was it enough to really do anything? I don't think so. You know, and it kind of sucks because, you know, the build up to this, from specifically that cliffhanger, the way this episode starts with him yelling and powering up once again, he looks badass. I mean, there's no questioning that. But does he really do anything here too special? No, he doesn't. As a matter of fact, the first thing he does, I mean, he charges at Goku Black and he gets kneed in the gut, you know, and it's just like, we don't usually see that, right? People usually power up and then they'll rush at the bad guy, beat the shit out of him for a good 15, 20 seconds, and then they'll stand behind, you know, a mushroom cloud waiting to see if they've recovered or not. I mean, that happens. That still happens. But Trunks kind of gets his ass whipped a little bit first. So it's just a little bit, I mean, the way they approach it is just a little bit different. So, you know, the opening sort of couple minutes of this episode is Trunks kind of giving it that rage, that, you know, that furious burst of superpower. But it doesn't really do anything, unless I'm missing something. But it's definitely a power level boost. And at the end of this episode, the fight's definitely not over yet. So maybe it'll amount to something, but has it amounted to enough in this episode to justify the title of this episode? Absolutely not. So I don't know what the hell they were thinking with that. Okay. But there are some good moments here. You know, he kind of goes at them a couple times. He does get the best of Goku Black at a moment. And he says, you know, your project ends here or something like that. Blast hits him with this major blast, but then we get that moment I was talking about where you're watching the cloud and they're waiting to see if the enemies survived or not. Of course, Goku Black survives that, comes out of it, pretty much starts to turn the tides on Trunks. And I mean, that's pretty much the extent of this super burst of power that he got. Vegeta jumps back into the fight for a quick minute. Doesn't take long for him to get knocked back out. I'm not sure if they're implying here that Trunks is temporarily stronger than Vegeta, because Trunks gets hit a couple times, but he doesn't get completely knocked back out of Super Saiyan mode like Vegeta does. So I don't know if there's, you know, I'm not sure if they're implying that Trunks is temporarily stronger than Super Saiyan Blue, which would be ridiculous if he was that strong. Like Robert said earlier on the Facebook post, it'd be silly if he just got angry and all of a sudden was as strong as everyone else after all the training that they've gone through. So I'm not really sure how to take that. You know, it's just not really clear. But Trunks is definitely still putting up a fight. So much of a fight, in fact. He buys enough time to tell Vegeta and Bulma and, you know, to get Goku and go back to their timeline. He's saying that I need to stay here. I'll hold them off. You guys need to get out of here just in case I don't make it through this. You guys have to be around to defeat Goku Black and Zamasu, which I'm not sure if they've done a very good job of explaining why it's so important. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, we've got two villains here, but so far, Goku Black and Zamasu haven't necessarily presented any sort of major threat to the current timeline. So it's a little bit weird that Goku and Vegeta are so invested in this. I mean, obviously they care about future Trunks, so they're going to try to help him. But just Trunks saying out loud, just in case I don't make it, you guys have to find a way to stop them. It's like, do we though? Do we? I mean, they're not any, at this point in time, they're not really a threat to anything other than this timeline, because this is where they've been the whole time. Okay. Yeah, they have the ability to come to the current timeline, but if they were going to do that, why wouldn't they, wouldn't they have done it by now? You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't it be easier for them to just follow them back to the present timeline and kill them instead of just waiting for them to show up in the future again? I mean, they see the spaceship taking off. They launch a blast at it. Future Trunks blocks it, which is a pretty cool moment because it's been a while since we've seen that attack, right? That attack that he did against Cell when he killed Cell in his timeline. We threw him up into the air and blasted the shit out of him. So it's always cool to see that attack again. So we kind of get a little, just a little reminder of that. Now, Goku and Vegeta and Bulma make it back to the present day. And for some reason, little Trunks is staring staring at that exact spot. I mean, how long has he been standing there? Has he been there for 2 hours just standing? That's not creepy at all. But they show up and they immediately kind of go into it. Everybody kind of assumes that since Future Trunks is not in there, that means that he didn't need to come back with them because everything was okay in the future. Because Beerus's sort of plan was right. Eliminating present day Zamasu would reverberate throughout the timelines, destroying Zamasu in the future. But they say, no, that's not what happened. You were wrong, Beerus. It didn't work. Which was weird. It was weird that nobody explained to him why it didn't work. I was waiting for someone to say, well, no, man, Goku Black was wearing a time ring, so that's why it didn't do anything. But there's not really an explanation to him, so I don't know. And Beerus kind of reacts in such a way saying that, oh, I had a feeling that was going to happen. It's like, what? No, you didn't. You were the opposite of that. But the show kind of plays that up, too, as Bulma says, no, you were literally, you know, ready to destroy people for not, for doubting what you said. But you know, it sparks a little bit enough of a sort of question in Beerus's mind that it prompts him to go do something else, which we'll talk to later once it actually gets to that point in the episode. Now we obviously get a bit of a vibe here from this episode. Obviously it was a bit of a reversal of sort of authority here, right? Because we had Future Trunks pretty much telling Vegeta, hey, go get Goku, bring him back in time, and you can tell that gets to Vegeta. Not that he's being told what to do, but he feels helpless, that in this moment he can't really help his son. So it's kind of bothering him, and he gets back to the present and you can kind of see that that is bothering him. And then there's a question that comes up from Beerus and Whis about, did they mention any of the other gods? So this is where they just kind of explain a bunch of stuff that we already know, that yeah, he managed to kill all the other gods and etc. And they kind of explain that, you know, they explain the origin of Goku Black and how all of that happened. And I thought it was funny because Beerus just kind of walks off and he's like, and she's like, you're just gonna leave? And he's like, well, I already defeated Zamasu in this timeline. If he's running around in some other timelines, it ain't got nothing to do with me. It's kind of funny, and it fits perfectly along with his character, so that's okay. So, but we know he's not, you know, he's not. The end of the episode tells us that that's not entirely true. Okay, but we do see this moment where little Trunks visits Goten and kind of knocks on his window and wakes him up. Man, I'm so excited to see Goten. You know, I mean, even though this Goten is so different than the one in Dragon Ball Z, like, not only did they make him look like a damn baby in Dragon Ball Super, but he's just different. You know what I mean? Like, he's just, I don't know, he's just way less mature, and we don't get to spend as much time with him. He's, you know, he was wearing the karate gi every time we saw him in Z, but they even changed his outfit here. I'm not sure why they did that. They kept Trunks the same. But it's cool to see him, and we can kind of assume what is going to happen here. You know, he's going to wake up Goten. You know, is there a fusion on the horizon? We don't know. I guess we'll find out. But then we switch over, and not only do we get to see Goten again in this episode, we get to see Krillin, and then we get to see Chi-Chi, and we get to see Gohan. Thank fucking goodness we get to see Gohan again. It took long enough. I was wondering at what point were they going to be like, okay, you know, now it's time to kind of get these other characters back involved in here, because, you know, how long were they expecting us to believe that Goku can just go off to the future 19 times, get into a fight, almost die, and not tell any of his family about it, right? Chi-Chi, Goten, Gohan, none of them even knew. And at this point, when we see them, they still don't know. But what we do get is them showing some concern. You know, they're saying, they're asking Krillin, said, hey, Goku hasn't been home in a while, which they should be used to that by now. I mean, dude's never home. I guess that kind of ties into that whole discussion of whether or not he's a bad father. Let me know if you want to hear me talk more about that. But yeah, I mean, he's never home. He's always training. And Super, he spends 90% of his time training. But for some reason now they're concerned. Well, I guess because he would at least come home to eat, right? So Chi-Chi is saying, I spent all this time making all this lunch and he didn't come. So I just kept making more and more food and he never showed up. They even have Gohan standing there carrying all the food on his back. Then we get to see Krillin. You know, I forgot that Krillin was a cop. I mean, that's just how little time we've spent with these additional characters, that we spent plenty of time with these characters in Dragon Ball Z. You know, so it's nice to kind of see them again. So we basically just get a quick little sort of conversation. You know, she's kind of questioning Krillin about where Goku is. Krillin doesn't really know. But what happens is that during the midst of this conversation, they spot Trunks and Goten flying off. Okay, so now there's something to go on here. And Chi-Chi pretty much says, oh, Trunks and Goten out here, you know, after bedtime. I just thought that was funny. You know, you don't realize how much you miss these characters until they pop back up, you know. So it was cool. So once again, kind of revisiting this sort of idea that, you know, Vegeta's pretty bothered by what just happened. You know, he's not a coward. He's definitely, you know, even though it's tough for him to show it, he cares about his family, even his future son. So it's kind of on his mind. And he kind of walks up on the middle of a conversation where, you know, okay, so this is what we find out. Trunks and Goten were planning to go to the future, where I am assuming fuse into Gotenks and then try to help. But Bulma's saying, you know, it's very noble what you guys are trying to do, but you're only get yourselves killed. There's no way you're strong enough to do anything. Even Goku isn't strong enough. And Vegeta's kind of overhearing all of this. And it's kind of, you know, it still bugs him. It still bugs him that everyone counts on Goku for everything. And she says something like, only Goku is the one who can do it. And he's just getting bothered and he's trying to fight it. He's trying to fight, you know, responding. But that's when Gohan and Chi-Chi show up. So, you know, they're talking about how Goku hasn't been home in a while. Bulma's just kind of trying to stall and lie because she knows Chi-Chi's temper and Chi-Chi will blow up on every fucking body. And Chi-Chi's also asking about Goten and Trunks and she's saying, no, they're not out here and etc. But eventually, you know, Goku kind of walks out of there because he's hungry, right? Stomach's growling, etc. She sees him. She sees him and immediately the questions start, right? And he mentions the fact that he got beaten up by his own body and Chi-Chi spots Goten and Trunks. And then, you know, they kind of have no reason to kind of keep, you know, stringing her along at this point because they run into Vegeta. And then there's just a whole thing where, you know, OK, so then we, you know, kind of skip ahead a little bit. Oh, wait, no. Piccolo and Krillin show up. Piccolo. We get Piccolo this episode. I'm excited just for that. You know, I miss these characters, man. I miss these characters. Whenever they have a good opportunity to get these characters involved, I want them to do it. You know, and they should have done more here, but we'll talk more about that. But yeah, so Goku shows up, comes out there, and then they feel, you know, they have to kind of catch up. So they kind of do a small little passage of time here by having Goku eat. Thus, you know, and kind of explaining everything that sort of happened to, I guess, to Piccolo and Gohan and everyone else who's there at this point. It's exciting that Gohan's there, right? At this point, I'm wondering when or if he's going to decide to get into this fight. Probably not, because he knows he's not. I mean, if these other characters can't stand a chance against them, then Gohan probably wouldn't be able to do shit. But maybe there could be a spark of some sort that makes him want to get back into it. Remember, this is something that happened before. After Frieza, Gohan said he was going to train again. And he trained with Piccolo for like one episode. And then they just dropped that whole thing. They dropped the whole damn thing. I remember that. Don't try to play me, Dragon Ball Super. I remember. But okay, so they're having a conversation, and Goku once again sort of mentions, you know, they're talking about Goku Black, and he's saying he's going to get his revenge and all that stuff because, you know, not only is he just wreaking havoc in the future, but he also killed Goten and Chi-Chi. And they're saying, no, you know, it's in the version of this timeline that hasn't happened yet. And this is, I went into this on a previous episode about how it was a little bit sort of less impactful, I would say, that they had Goku get so angry about this idea of Goten and Chi-Chi being killed whenever he found out about that, because that wasn't his Goten and Chi-Chi necessarily. That was a version of this that, you know, hadn't happened to them yet. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's obviously he's still going to get mad about it regardless, but it just was a little bit, I don't know, it just was kind of off, right? It was kind of off, because then he asked about it. He's like, aren't you going to ask about your family? It's like, I was wondering when you're going to ask or something. It's like, why would he ask if that didn't happen to him? It was just bad writing. But all in all, they kind of attempt to explain this whole Goku Black Zamasu thing again to everybody. And they use this little sort of animation where there's like this little doll version of Zamasu and Goku Black, which I kind of like. I mean, it's always kind of fun when they find different visual ways of sort of illustrating stories instead of just telling us or just showing a flashback. So this is just a quick little reminder of exactly what this is and what happened. And meanwhile, Gohan is like, oh, that's why Trunks came back here, right? Because Trunks went to visit Gohan and everything, and Gohan didn't even think to ask him. Once again, bad writing. Didn't even think to ask him why he came back. I mean, wouldn't that have been the first question you would have asked? I mean, come on. That would have been the first question I would have asked future Trunks. But now it's starting to come together, and he's saying, oh, this is why he's back here. So I love the fact that Gohan's now in the loop. Whether or not they will do something cool with that, I don't know. But it's pretty cool that they're doing it. Okay. So, you know, Piccolo makes a comment, says, you know, I can't believe you guys are having as much trouble with them, because the last time I saw you fight Goku Black, he didn't seem strong enough to give you this much trouble. And this one, they kind of talk about, well, now Zamasu is indestructible and Goku Black is getting stronger every time he fights. And not only that, they're essentially the same person. So when when they team up, they're very formidable, because that makes their moves in sync. That makes all of their energy waves in sync, and et cetera. And I can see how that'd be pretty hard to fight someone like that. And then Gohan starts to ask, okay, is there anything you haven't tried yet? You know, he's asking Goku, and Goku says, well, there are some techniques I haven't tried yet. And when he said that, I was like, oh, here we fucking go. Here we go. Like, I thought for sure he was about to just make up something, right? Because they do that on Dragon Ball. You know, he said, well, there are a couple of techniques I haven't tried yet. Maybe I can try the, and then they just make up something that we've never heard of before, right? Like the first time he brought up fusion, he was like, well, there may be a solution here. And then all of a sudden, there's this thing that he learned a long time ago, or not even that long ago, I guess, but they never mention that they just happen to bring up right now in order to serve the plot. But that didn't happen. Instead, they brought up something that, well, technically already existed, which was kind of impressive, I guess, because Piccolo jumps in and he says, you know, because right now they're under the understanding that they have two people that they just can't beat. Okay, so they're thinking of alternate ways of getting rid of them. Piccolo brings up the evil containment wave, also known as the Mafuba, right? Mafuba, is that right? It's been a while. Okay, it's been a while since I've seen Dragon Ball, and also it's been a while since I played any games where it was referred to as that. Okay, so if I'm wrong, I apologize. But yeah, so just a quick reminder of that, or you know, sort of a you know, might be new information to some people who didn't watch Dragon Ball, because I'm not sure if they ever used this technique in Dragon Ball Z. If they did, no, they didn't. Because they're specifically referencing Dragon Ball back when Roshi was fighting King Piccolo. He used the evil containment wave to contain evil King Piccolo. Okay, so they're bringing it up now, and they're saying, hey, we can use this to contain them, and then if we seal it, there's nothing they can do. They can't get out of it, right? Not too bad, because you know, they could have always, like I said, decided to make up something completely new. But instead of doing that, they use something that has already been established in this world, which is totally fine. My only question is that why didn't somebody suggest this back in Dragon Ball Z? why didn't somebody suggest the evil containment wave for Frieza or Vegeta or Cell or Boo? Right? Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm forgetting something. But they conveniently just forgot about that whole technique throughout all of Dragon Ball Z. So now it's coming back around for some reason. Once again, I'm sort of nitpicking. I mean, I know this world well enough to know that the writing is just bad sometimes. Okay. And us true fans, we can admit that. Okay. Because we know the show's not perfect. And this is just another example of that they're bringing back something they haven't talked about in a whole series or two. If you count GT, I don't think it was mentioned there either. But whatever. You know, right now it's just a solution on how to kind of fix things. Now, what I don't like about this is that, you know, well, first of all, there's a moment where, you know, the time machine needs 12 hours to sort of recharge, okay? Which they're doing a lot of time hopping too, which is kind of making it less significant. The more they do it, it's starting to seem like a really, like, convenient sort of a thing, but whatever. But Vegeta walks off, and he's apparently going to the hyperbolic time chamber. He's going to get a good 12 hours in. I guess that's equivalent to like a half of a year or 6 months or something in there. So I guess we'll see what happens when he comes out of there. So they're talking about the evil containment wave, and Goku's like, okay, so how do I do that move again? And then Piccolo stands up and he says, I'll gladly show you myself, but... It's a very funny moment because Goku's like, nah, no thanks. Master Roshi's the one who knows how to do it. I'll just ask him. And he kind of instant transmissions out of there, which was funny. Very funny. But here's my problem. They just missed a really good opportunity to get Piccolo involved in the action. Okay? I mean, why wouldn't you take that opportunity? It's like, I guess they say, well, you know, we can get Master Roshi involved. No, we don't need Master Roshi involved in this. We want Piccolo to do it. How Piccolo knows how to do it is another question. I mean, I guess it happened to him, technically. I don't remember if that evil containment wave happened before or after he split from King Piccolo, right? Because, Jesus, remember, King Piccolo was there, and then before Goku killed him, he spit out an egg who was Piccolo Jr., and this is the Piccolo that we know now. But he still has all of that Piccolo's memories, as well as the memories of Kami, right? Because he split. King Piccolo and Kami were one person, and they split, and then Piccolo Jr. came along, and since King Piccolo and Piccolo Jr. are technically the same person, he still has all the memories of the previous person and all that. But I guess at some point throughout that, he learned how to do the evil containment wave. Maybe because it was used on him, he picked it up. I don't know. But it just would have been a really good opportunity to get Piccolo involved. So I would have preferred it. Even you could either A, have him teach Goku how to do it, or B, even better, let him go to the future with you. Let him go to the future. I mean, what a cool opportunity to send Piccolo to the future just to get someone else there. You know, like, what is this? Like the second or third time, like Goku and Vegeta have gone there and gotten beaten up. Now, clearly Piccolo is not strong enough to beat those dudes. But one thing about Piccolo is that he's the smartest fighter on the show. You know what I mean? He's not the strongest, but he's the smartest. So who's to say he couldn't go there and figure out some kind of other way of trapping somebody or restraining somebody or something? You know, I think it would have been cool for him to go and him be the one to try to do the move. Now, what's weird about this is that, you know, Master Roshi sort of shows Goku how to do it, and then there's this sort of montage of him practicing on Turtle, which is fucked up. I mean, come on, man. What did Turtle ever do to you? You know, I've always kind of assumed the Evil Containment Wave was a technique that could only be used on evil things. Hence the name Evil Containment Wave. I guess not, because he does manage to do it successfully on Turtle, but they don't seal him in the jar, so I guess it's just okay. But it's kind of messed up. It's like, well, why doesn't, I don't know, you know, why can you use this move on something that's not evil? And if so, why is it called the Evil Containment Wave? I don't know. I've always thought it a little bit weird that there are certain techniques that can only be used on things that are quote unquote evil, because what is evil really? I mean, from the perspective of a person who's evil, they're not evil, right? Evil is a very much an interpretation, you know, an interpretation that the majority sort of agrees on. You know, most of us agree on what good is and what evil is, but from an evil person's perspective, they're not evil. So in what, how do they go about determining something like that in that world? I don't know, but that's a much deeper question, I guess. Because I mean, even with the spirit bomb, right? They mentioned that the spirit bomb was something that can, like, it couldn't hurt you if you didn't have evil in your heart or something like that. So I guess I always assumed that the Evil Containment Way was like that too. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know a lot about Dragon Ball, because I didn't watch all of Dragon Ball, and you know, my memories on that are pretty, you know, fuzzy. Okay, so we get that, and then at the very end of the episode, bam, we find out that Beerus did not drop this, as he appeared to have done. He actually went to see Goensu, and he's having a conversation with him. He's saying, hey, you know, something happened. Zamasu wasn't killed the way I thought he was going to be, so, and Goensu is saying, it's my fault. So let's see what I can do to help, because if it wasn't for me, Zamasu wouldn't even be a problem right now. So it's kind of exciting that they're getting Goensu involved, and we can see how this turns out and see if he somehow manages to help pull something off that they haven't tried yet. So I'm kind of excited for that. All in all, this was an okay episode. I mean, the Trunks Super Saiyan Rage thing was definitely a letdown. I mean, all it seemed to do was just give him a brief enough of a power boost to where, you know, he could hold them off. And it just seemed a little bit, you know, underutilized and kind of unnecessary, I guess. Especially when it doesn't seem like we're going to get any sort of explanation as to what that was, what caused it, what gave him the ability to do that. And in some ways, I'm okay with that, because I don't know if there's a way that they could explain it that I would be satisfied with, you know. You know, I mean, all they can do is say, well, sometimes when people get mad, they get power, their power rises. And I guess that's somewhat consistent with what has happened in the past. I mean, we've seen Vegeta rage out, you know, but he also didn't necessarily get a power boost, right? I'm thinking about back in Perfect Cell, when Cell came back to life as Ultra Perfect Cell or whatever, and then he blasted that hole through Future Trunks, and then Vegeta just got pissed and just like unleashed on him. That was rage, but there was no power level boost there, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't know. I mean, we've only really, I guess, seen that with Gohan, but let me stop talking about it, because I'm probably gonna I don't remember everything, and somebody's going to be wanting to correct me. So I'll just stop there. I'll just shut up and say, hey, what are you saying? Send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions, concerns, theories, etc. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, by all means, head over to iTunes. Leave me a review there. I love getting those. Love reading them. Love the positive feedback. It always keeps me motivated to keep this going. 62 episodes in, you know, not including the bonus episodes. So, you know, there's been many, many hours of me talking here. And I certainly appreciate you guys coming back and listening every week. and all of that good stuff. So I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up here, guys, and say until next time for Rock the Dragon Podcast, I'm Tim Bridgewater, and I will see you next time.